Take your Bibles. I want you to turn to, I'm going to give you several verses, okay? Luke 6, so, and if you will, mark your place there. We'll come back and read a verse, Luke 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Luke 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll give you a chance if you need to turn as we're going along. Matthew 16, and then Matthew 25. I brought something with me the first part of the week, and I was going to get it out, and I left it in my van, and I was going to use it in the chapel service. But I was preaching a couple years ago in LaGrange, and I was looking down under the pulpit, and I saw this little wooden sign down under the pulpit. And I asked the pastor about it. I said, "What is that?" And he said, "That's my amen sign." He said, "A man in our church made it," and he said, "Every now and then, if people kind of, they're not amen," and I pull my sign out. And before I left that week, that guy made me one. So if I reach down and pull it up, you know what you're supposed to say. Let's try it. Ready? Here we go. Okay. All right. It works. All right. I just want to make sure. See, so I'm going to lay it over here. You just never know, you know. Let's start out with Luke 6. If you are physically able, would you stand in honor of God's Word? Luke chapter number 6. And by the way, I put physically able in there because when I had a broken ankle this past summer, I knew that I could not stand. And so, but Luke chapter number 6, and I'm going to read one verse here, very familiar verse. The Bible says, "Give." Now notice there's a comma there, okay? So it's a one-word command, give. Now in that little comma in Luke 6:38, there is a, if you'll permit me to do there, I'd say there's maybe a question there. Give. Here's the question. Why? You asked it. Why give? Well, the answer's there in the verse. "And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Every time I read that verse, I cannot help but think about my mother when I was a child filling a canister full of flour after she'd gone to the grocery store or sugar and setting that metal canister on the counter and pour until it's piled up, start shaking it, tapping it on the counter, and it settles down in there, and she kept doing it until she got the whole bag in there. And I was just always impressed how she kept getting that more and more in there. That's how he said he'd give. Now watch now. He said, "Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in verse number 5. Now we have here, he's talking about the brethren, and we may go back even and use this chapter tomorrow evening, but he says right here in verse number 5, they had given, but he said this, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now they gave more than the money, they gave themselves. Go back to Matthew chapter 16 now. I want to read one verse there, and we're just kind of laying some groundwork for where we're going. Matthew 16 and verse 26. Here we find that Jesus is telling us the value of one soul. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know what he's saying here? A soul is priceless. You can't put a price upon it. And folks, if we were only able to reach one soul, that's a soul Jesus died for. Every soul is valuable, and we want to reach as many as we can because that's what the Lord's commanded us to do. But He's trying to tell us as well here that even just one soul is of great, great value. Now, go to Matthew 25, and we'll pray and let you be seated here in a minute. Matthew chapter 25. I'm not going to read the whole account, but I'll kind of just jump over there to the latter part of it there. And we'll look in. This is the story there that you'll find of the talents. One, he gave five. When he came back, he had five more with it.
We find then another there that he had, he gave him two. When he came back, he had two more. One, he gave one, and when he came back, he only had that one. Verse 27. Here's the answer and reply when he told him that he had hid that one and had that one, but there was no dividends or interest on it. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Let's pray. Father, I pray now you'd bless our time and your word. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for our dear brother here, Lord, with the Rock of Ages, and how, Lord, you've blessed his ministry. Lord, again, we remember, of course, Lord, having the dear brother, Lord, Yamazaki, that was here, Lord, and we just pray, God, that you would just bless his ministry. And now, Lord, we ask tonight, speak to our hearts as only you can, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I brought my Coke bottle because a couple of years ago, this was setting, I had it sitting back in the study, and I was in there reading, and the Lord used this Coke bottle to speak to my heart. Now, this is a glass Coke bottle. You don't see a lot of these anymore, amen? But I dare say, as I look around, many of you have drank from one of these bottles, amen? Notice up here on the neck, it says this: money back bottle, return for deposit. Now, when you bought these, now the young people over here have never experienced this, but when I was a kid, we went and you had to give 3 cents deposit on this bottle. And when you came back and turned it in, you got 3 cents. Or you could get another carton of Cokes and trade the empty bottles and not pay any more. But eventually, you could get the deposit back and it would bring a return because it's worth something. There was a deposit made up on it. Now, as a kid, I kept spending money because I picked them up when other people didn't want them and throw them away and then carry them to the corner grocery store and, man, get me some candy money. And so, but no deposit. No, I mean, it says money back bottle, return for deposit. Then they decided they didn't want to use these reusable bottles because what they did with them, they actually sterilized them and refilled them. So then we moved into another age, the plastic or the synthetic bottle. When the plastic and the synthetic bottles came out, a term was coined then. And that term was this: no deposit, no return. What that mean was you didn't have to return it because you didn't make a deposit on it. But there's another aspect to that too. No deposit, you don't put anything into it, there's no return. You get nothing back. Did you know in the Bible here, we see that there is, even here in Matthew 25, here's the aspect of an investment and a return. We would call it the principle of sowing and reaping. It's the same thing. You invest, you put something in, you get something back. But we live in a society today that's a no deposit, no return society. And you know what that said about that bottle when it was a no deposit, no return, the slogan came out? What did it mean you were supposed to do with that bottle? Huh? Throw it away. It was worth nothing. Just throw it away. Can I tell you? That's what we've become, a throwaway society. And even spiritually, I'm afraid we have forgotten the value of one soul. We've forgotten the importance of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we find, give and it shall be given to you. Principle, invest, get a return. Invest, get a return. And so there's nothing wrong with that. You may have investments in here. Well, why would you make investments? Well, the whole purpose of making investments is what? To get a return. There's nothing wrong with that. And so we find even the biblical thing of sowing and reaping. And so I got to thinking about that in light of souls and looking at the scriptures here that we read and thinking about it. And so I begin to think of sowing and reaping, or if you please, investing and getting a return on your investment. Did you know what? In the Lord's work, that's the way it is too. If we don't put ourselves into it, we're not going to get anything out of it.
If we don't invest, and by the way, notice it's not just our money. The Corinthian Christians gave themselves. And so we need to not only just invest our money into the Lord's work, but we need to invest ourselves in order to get that return that God wants us to have. And so, number one, the principle of sowing and reaping, it also works with investment and return. If we want to reap, we must sow. I'd love to have a garden, but it's work involved in the garden. Now, if I could skip all that part, amen? I mean, now we're coming to the time, we have a man in our church, and the other day he got a plow and he broke his garden all up, turned it all over. Now, he hadn't worked it yet, but he got it all turned over. And then he'll go out there and he'll run a tiller through it. And then he'll go out and make him some rows and plant the seed. Then he'll have to go out and hoe it and everything. Now, hey, the best way, we think now, we live in a day and time when if we want some vegetables, the easiest thing is to go down to Kroger and buy them. Amen? Because we can do that quickly. But somebody had to work. Somebody had to invest to grow those. And so, you know what? Hey, listen, it comes to that fact that if we want to reap, we got to sow. And we sow what we reap. Amen. Now, when I put butter beans in the ground, I'm not expecting to get corn. If I do, somebody sold me the wrong thing, and butter beans and corn are totally different. But I'm going to tell you something. You want to see, and you're going to get. And if we'll sow in the Lord's work, the Lord says He will bless us, and we will reap because of what we sow. Brother Lawrence just mentioned a minute ago about his faith promise. And listen, again, through the years, I know how the Lord has worked in our lives as well. And when we made that promise, God saw to it in ways that was always amazing how that He supplied those needs. Because that's who our God is. And He honors faith, as we've already seen. And so we need to sow in order to reap. And then we reap sometimes later than we sow, most of the time. Amen. Now, I said a minute ago, it'd be great if I could just skip all the other part and just go out there in July and vegetables were just on the ground. That'd be great. But it just doesn't happen that way. And then, here's the next thing. I can't, we're on the road all the time, can't have a garden. We loved having a garden. I loved working in a garden. I loved eating the stuff. Amen? And I'd go out and plant my green beans one day. Make my rows, plant my green beans, water them real good. The next day, come home from work and head straight to the garden. Now, I knew that it takes like 30-something days to germinate and for, you know, and all that stuff, or 15 days in some of them. But I'm going to tell you what, I came home that day and ran out there just to make sure that one of them didn't jump up out of the ground. I mean, I wanted to see it happen quick, but usually it doesn't happen quick. It's going to take a period of time for that process to be able to reap once I have sown. Now, thank God, when it comes to the Lord's work, there sometimes is short-term investments. What I mean that you see the fruit immediately. Hallelujah. I don't know if I shared this last year, but one year I went to preach a funeral in Louisville of a lady. A lady contacted me when I was pastoring at Scottsville, wanted me to come preach her sister's funeral. I didn't know her, but how it all worked around, somebody thought her sister lived in Scottsville. She was from Scottsville, but her sister was in Louisville, 120 miles away. And this lady said, "Would you come?" And I went and preached that lady's funeral. And while I was up there, I heard my cousin was in the hospital with a bad heart problem that lived over in southern Indiana. And so when I heard that he was there, I thought, well, I'm up here. I better run by the hospital and check on Larry. And when I walked up to the hospital door, my cousin said, first of all, he gave me one of those double-take looks. And then he said this, "Joe, is that really you?" And I said, "Well, last time I checked, it's really me." And he said, "You know what, something. I was just laying here saying, boy, I sure wished I could talk to Joe. He was lost. And I had talked to him on several occasions. But
Now here he was. He was facing some serious health issues. And he was saying, I just was thinking, if I could just talk to him. And I said, I'm here. What do you want to talk about? And he said, you know, Joe, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this or not. And he said, I sure would like to know that I'm going to heaven. And I said, you can. And I got out my Bible and he started weeping and he trusted Jesus as a Savior. And he didn't die then. His heart gave him a lot of problems for the next couple of years, and eventually he did. But praise the Lord. Hey, I was not expecting to see him say. I went to that hospital thinking, well, last time I talked to him, he wasn't rude or anything. He just was fine the way he was. That's the way he considered himself. But I'm going to tell you, that was one of those times when, amen, you just walk up and the Holy Spirit's got them ready. They've been working on them. I was visiting one day and outside in a subdivision of Louisville, and back several years ago, visiting a bus route. And the fellow sitting in the yard in a lawn chair, warm morning. And I walked up to him and I said, sir, I told him the church I was from, and I was out visiting and wanted to know if he went to church. And he said, no, I don't go to church. And he said, I need to, but I don't. I said, you're right, you need to. And I said, sir, if you die, do you know you go to heaven? And he said, I need to, but I don't. And I said, you're right. And he said to me, buddy, I'm glad you came by. He said, I've been thinking a lot about that. My mother was a fine Christian lady. And said, she's in heaven now. But said, my mother used to witness, and or she used to read me the Bible and tell me I needed to be saved. But you know what? She'd read me a verse of Scripture in the Old Testament and tell me it was talking about Jesus. But I can't remember what that verse, I can't remember where that was at. I know it was in the Old Testament, and I know it talked about Jesus and us being like sheep. And I went to Isaiah 53. And as I began to read Isaiah 53, he began to weep. Tears started just streaming down his cheek. The next thing before I said anything at all, he was out of that lawn chair on his knees in the front yard, crying out to God to save him so he could go to heaven where his mom was. Man, I'm standing here. I'm just utterly amazed. You know what I'm thinking? And that's one of them short-term investments. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes you witness and you water and somebody else waters. And you know, about a month ago now, I guess it was, my wife comes from a Catholic background and she got saved. And when she got saved, none of her family were saved. But through the years, we witnessed to them. We got to see her mom and dad both saved before they passed away. And every time we get an opportunity, we witness to her brothers and sisters. And we were at home. Andrew and I was in the basement just a few weeks ago. And we were working down there. And when I came upstairs, Andrew said, who's mom talking to in there? And I said to my daughter, who was in there, who's mom talking to on the phone in the bedroom? Well, Aunt Laura called. That's her sister. That's younger than she is. And I said, oh, so she was fixing to have a knee replacement too, just like her sister, but after her. But anyway, I thought, well, they're talking knee replacements here, you know. And so I thought she was calling about the parts department, you know, see what was happening. So anyway, I just kind of went on, and Andrew came through a little bit, and he said, who is mom witnessing to on the phone in there, Dad? I said, witnessing? Well, she's talking to Aunt Laura. You mean she's witnessing to her? Oh, yeah, man, she's reading Scriptures to her and everything. I said, well, you two come here. We're going to pray right now. Let's just kneel here. And I got my phone out and I texted my three married children. And I said, y'all pray. Mama's witnessing to Aunt Karen right now. Just pray for Aunt Karen. I mean, Aunt Laura, right now. And so they responded that they were going to pray. And then Andrew was kind of eavesdropping outside the bedroom, you know. And he came around the corner and he said to me, I think she just got saved, Dad. And I walked around the corner and Denise saw me and she gave me the sign language. Yes. You know what? The kids called me back or texted me back, and I texted them right away and I said, Aunt Laura just prayed and asked the Lord to forgive her. And Jesus is coming to heart and save her. They said, Dad, you texted us before we got done praying. Amen. She sat there for another 30 minutes as her sister went and got her Bible and she gave her scripture verses and she was quoting them back to her. And right, hey, you know what? 42 years we've witnessed to her. 42 years we've talked to her about the Lord. 42 years. Long-term investment. But glory to God. And then, boy, she started in telling. Of course, Denise gave her own testimony and things of that nature. And it was just a sweet time. We just had a sweet time of rejoicing. You know, if you're going to get a return, you got to make an investment. And sometimes it may be a long-term investment. You may not see it. You know what? Some of them we may not even see when we get to heaven. Because the song he sang, the faces. Hey, when we get to heaven, there's going to be some faces in all these countries where these flags represent that Grace Baptist Church has supported missionaries. Because I do believe that when we support missionaries and souls are saved, we have a part in that. Paul said, fruit that may abound to our account. And so, glory to God. And some faces to see there in what how God has worked. And so, hey, it's a long term. I got to share it. I know I shared this last year, but I cannot think about long-term investment. If you'll pardon me repeating myself, if I did. But we had the Burmese little girl, Lu Chin, that got saved in our church and Sunday school. She's Burmese, and her dad came and visited and set me adult Sunday school class. I was teaching that Sunday, and when I went back to him, he said to me, I said, are you Burmese? He said, I am. I said, would you by any chance be Lu Chin's dad? He said, I am. I said, we're so happy Lu Chin got saved and asked Jesus into her heart, and she's been faithfully coming. He said, oh, yes, we glad Lu Chin get Jesus. And he said, I have a little boy who needs Jesus, and he's got a little son. And I said, sir, have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Jesus? Oh, he said, I too am Christian. I said, well, did that happen since you've been in the States? Oh, no, that happened in Burma. My family Christian. He said, rest of Burma Buddhist. But my family Christian. I said, did a missionary reach you? Oh, missionary long time ago. I said, well, there was a missionary by the name of Adoniram Judson who came to Burma. Judson, he missionary that bring Jesus to my family many years ago. Folks, Adoniram Judson, that was 200 years ago when he left and went to Burma and he worked for 6 years without seeing one convert in Burma. He buried his wife and kids there. But glory to God, did you know what? His investment is still paying dividends over 200 years later. Here's a family with souls still being saved because of what Adoniram Judson did in Burma. Can I tell you, I got this saying I say all the time. God's work is the only thing you can invest in and still receive the dividends after you go to glory. Amen. You invest in earthly stuff here, it stops when you die. But somebody said to me, you think Adoniram Judson knew that? Well, the angels started rejoicing. Amen. When Lu Chin got saved. And I'm telling you something, hey, those investments are there. And so, glory to God for that. Oh, long-term investments. I could go on, and I know you could too, and we again could have testimonies and tell how that we've seen others saved and how God has used them and how through the years that investment has continued to gain and reap dividends. How many in here right now can, in your mind right now, you can remember who it was that led you to Christ or influenced you in order that you could get saved? You know what they did for you? They invested. They invested in you. They invested maybe time, energy, money that the gospel could be preached or that you could be reached somehow. Whoever it was an investment that was made. I asked this at the beginning of our, we were fixing to have Bible school at our home church there in Bowling Green. And I was preaching and I asked the question, I said, how many of you in here were saved before the age of 20? Hands, all out of hands. How many of you were saved before the age of 20? Amen. And I said, you know what? There's a subtitle to this message. It's not only no deposit, no return. It's reaching the next generation. And I said, how many of you all that were, and I said, you remember who led you to Christ? our pastor's wife sitting over here, she said, Miss Geneva McCracken led me to the Lord in Bible school when I was 11 years old. Now, Brother J.T. McCracken pastored Grace Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky for many years there. Last year, he went to heaven. I think it's a little over a year, but he went to heaven. Brother J.T. did. And I said, as I did that, well, I was out at my son-in-law's church in Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And I was preaching, and I made reference to the fact of that time and Miss Melinda and how people invest in other people's lives and the return that's coming on. You know what? Can I tell you this? That week, Miss Carson led three girls to Christ. Did you know who that was a return on? And for? The McCrackens. Because they invested their life to reach her. Now she's reaching souls, but it goes back to that account of the McCrackens. And so I'm up preaching, and I'm talking about how that went there. And my son-in-law, pastor in Southwest Baptist Church, has McCrackens that belong to his church. They moved to Oklahoma City. And he has Dave McCracken, which is JT's son. And he has Nita McCracken, which is JT's daughter. And others in there. I don't know who, because he had a whole bunch of kids. But anyway, and so I'm talking about that. And my son-in-law comes to me and he says, do you remember who it was that led me to Christ? I said, who? He said, Melinda Carson. In the Sunday school room. Led him to Jesus. Now, isn't this funny? The McCrackens invested their life, and Melinda Carson got saved. And then Melinda Carson led a junior boy to Christ by the name of Jason Gaddis. And then God saved Jason Gaddis and called him to preach, and he ended up pastoring Southwest Baptist Church, and he was the McCracken family's pastor. Now, is that a turnaround or is that a turnaround? Amen? I mean, that's some, I would call that compound dividends. Amen? And that's what the ministry is all about. Hey, I was talking to, and the Japanese missionary knows this. In order for me to remember his name, I remember two motorcycles. But I'll tell you what, I still get the motorcycles mixed up. But Yamazaki, right? Did I say it right? Yamazaki. It's Yamaha and Kawasaki. Yamazaki, I got it, see? That's how I remember his name. Well, he told you here he was a product of Brother Simelson, right? Did I say that right too? I'm butchering names everywhere here. But anyway, he was a product of American missionary that went to Japan. And now he's a missionary and he's reaching Japanese people. Do you know who that goes back to? And actually, if I'm not mistaken, he said he was a third generation somehow in there. And so that's how missions work. We reach people, they reach people, they reach people, and that's how the gospel keeps being preached and folks keep getting saved, and that's the way it's supposed to work, folks. And you invest in God's work and the dividends will come, but you may not see them all right now. I may not see them all right now, but they're going to come. We're going to see them. I'm going to tell you what, the longer you live and the longer you're involved in the Lord's work, man, isn't it a blessing what the Lord allows you to see? I've gone to Camp Canaan, Brother Noah Broughton's camp, for I think this will be 35th year in a row for his junior camp. And now I got kids of the kids that are coming to the camp. Mm-hmm. A young lady was there from, I told you about the other one. I won't go back and repeat that one. But last year we had another incident where there was a counselor there. And she came as a counselor. And one day she came up to me and she said, Brother Decker, I just wanted to tell you, as a junior girl, I was saved here. And she told me when she was there and what was preached in that service. You know what? You never know how God is going to use your life and the lives of other people. That's why we just got to be faithful. That's why we've just got to invest ourselves. And when he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. And shall men heap into your bosom. He's saying there's a principle here. If you make a deposit, you get a return. But if you make no deposit, don't expect a return. You're not going to get anything if you're not willing to give.
and to make that deposit. Not only do we reap sometimes long term, but also, I thank God for this principle. We reap more than we sow. Amen? So what are you talking about? Well, if I put a kernel of corn in the ground, I'm sure glad I don't get just a kernel of corn back. Amen? It'd take a whole long time to make a cob if I got it one kernel at a time. But I put one little kernel of corn in the ground, I get 2 ears usually to a stalk at least. Maybe 3 on some of the sweet corn. I put one little green bean down in there in the ground, and that vine comes up, and I pick handfuls of green beans off of it. Amen? That's the principle of reaping and sowing. That's the principle of investing and getting a return. And I'm going to tell you what, the more seed you put in the ground, the more beans you get to eat. And I like green beans. My wife cans green beans. I like them. Sometimes she cans them with little potatoes, and sometimes she cans them with carrots, and sometimes she just cans them as green beans. Put a little bacon grease and some salt in there. And I love corn on the cob. Stick of butter, salt shaker, butter dripping off your chin when you eat it. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what, if I'm not willing to go out there and put the corn in the ground, if somebody don't put the corn in the ground, sometimes I'm a recipient of others' labors. Did you know sometimes God uses us too, just like He'll lead us to somebody that somebody else has already planted the seed, and we water, and God gives the increase. By the way, folks, it's always God that gives the increase. We can't save anybody. As the Lord does the saving, He just wants us to do that preparatory work and get that seed in the ground. And He wants to use us in order to make that deposit and then get that return. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that somebody saw fit to make a deposit in my life. You know, this week in the morning when and by the way, I told you, our faith promise card, our conference is going on this week too, and talk to the pastor this morning, and we'll make our promise. But what faith promise is all about, it's investing. By faith. You see, by faith, we're saying, Lord, here it is. Lord, I want to invest so that the gospel goes out. Here, Madisonville, Kentucky. The United States, you got local, you got church plants, and you got other missionaries here in the States. Rock of Ages within the States. That's Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when we invest, there'll be a return. But you may not see it while you're down here. But I told you the other night, I'm looking forward to heaven. Not only just because I've got a mansion waiting, that's great. But the main thing is my Savior's there. But I'll tell you something else I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to meeting a few people that I've never seen. But maybe because I gave to missions, that missionary was able to preach the gospel. And Brother Lawrence, a little Ukrainian boy might come up and say, you never met me. Say to you, because you support Brother O'Brien, but because you gave so that he could come and preach the gospel, I got saved. I got saved. What a thought. Amen. What a thought. Wherever it is that we can invest in God's work, and there will be a return. It's not, by the way, it's not always in dollars and cents too. The return sometimes is in other blessings than the way God does. Here's a lot of people think this. Well, if I get, then it's got to be all in giving and getting rather in material things. Hey, wait a minute. You know something we fail to think about sometimes and how God blesses us? What He spares us from. He rebukes the devourer. And God blesses by making what we have go longer. Amen. Amen. And sometimes gives us a bargain. Amen. I was sharing with Brother Richardson. These shoes I got on tonight. I was out in Missouri preaching, and I went down to a store. It's a dollar type store, and in the back they got a little thrift store. And I was needing another pair of shoes, and I went back there, and these pair of shoes were sitting back there just like new.
my size. I have a short, fat foot. And it is a wide width. It's an E width. And I picked them up and I said to the lady, how much are they? And she said, a dollar. I said, you just sold a pair of shoes. And then I said, thank you, Lord. Amen. And I got them home. And of course, when I bought them, I only had one shoe because I had the broken ankle and I couldn't wear that shoe. So I thought, well, I'll put them up and wait till I get my out of this cast and wear them. Well, I got them out just in the fall, September, I guess it was, or somewhere. And I put them on, and when I put them on, I noticed a man's name written on the bottom of the shoe, Elmo Hopgood, on both shoes. I thought, man, that guy, maybe he's in a nursing home or something. And I forgot about it. And I wore them to church and crossed my legs, and Elmo Hopgood was there. And I said, somebody going to call me Brother Elmo. I need to get that off there. And I wore them out to my son-in-law, out to his church, and I forgot all about it. And I said to my daughter, oh, man, Elmo Hopgood, I forgot to get his name off these. She says, I'll take care of it, Dad. I got one of them Mr. Clean magic erasers. We went in there, buddy, and scrubbed them things up, and Elmo Hopgood was gone. Or at least I thought he was. I'm serious. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. Well, I went in there and showed my wife, look, honey, it came off. That magic eraser got it off. I come home, and on a Wednesday night, I put them on, wore them to church, crossed my legs, and guess whose name was on my shoe? It's still there, Elmo. I'm good. I'm glad he let me wear shoes. Enough of that nonsense. But I do believe God blesses. And I do believe that He gives us ways that we can save money and ways that our money gets stretched. And it's not always that we get the check, but sometimes God says, let me just show you what I can do for you. Let me show you how I can rebuke the devourer. Let me show you how I can give you divine favor. You see, when somebody comes up to us and we're traveling and they say, you know, I want to do this. I don't think that's just a coincidence they want to do something. I think that's the divine favor of God. We was preaching over at Noah Broughton's, and we'd got there late, and we went in to the service, and we hadn't eaten anything. And after church, we were staying in a motel, and there was a Little Caesar's Pizza next to it. And I said, y'all want a pizza? We'll just go over and get a Little Caesar's Pizza. You know, they got them $5 hot and ready pizza. And I walked in that door, and I said, should we get one or two? Because Beth was traveling us with them. There was four of us, and I said, maybe I better get two. I said, well, maybe we better get one. So I walked in the door and I said, we'll take a pepperoni pizza, one of your pepperoni pizzas. And the guy looked at me and he said, hey, buddy, could you eat two? I said, if I can't, my two young folks can. They can wolf it down pretty good. And he said, well, I got a sausage back here. He said, I thought I'd just give it to you. He said, how about an order of, crazy bread. I came out and I said, Andrew, huh? I said, Andrew, isn't God good? That guy didn't know me from Adam. He'd never seen me before. Why did I walk in there? You know what? Sometimes we just need to stop and give God the glory. Because I believe God's involved in every aspect of our life. And I believe when we put Him first, He'll honor us in ways that will just totally amaze us. Because that's who we have as a God. He knows, and He's able to provide. If we invest, God will see to it that we get a return on that investment. That's what He said. So, the challenge is this. Don't be like the modern day, no deposit, no return. But see the value in something. Did you know, I don't know how many probably bottles of Coke that held and was overused over and over and over again. And God wants to do that in our life. But we need to see the value of investing in God's work. The value of investing ourselves. The value of giving it. And then to have a desire to want to be a good return. Number one, for He who invested in us. He invested His all on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. I want to please Him. I want to be a good return for my Savior who gave His all on the cross of Calvary so I could be saved. And then I want to be a good return for those who invested in me. My pastor that I surrendered under, he's already gone to glory. And the last thing that one of the last things he said to me was, Joe, preach. Don't quit. He had Alzheimer's. And one of the last words, Joe, preach. Don't quit. Preach. Don't quit. I still hear that. You know what? He invested in me. He took me under his wing, personally tutored me and taught me. I want to be a good investment. I want to be a good return, rather, on his investment. Who is it that invested in you? You know what? If they're still alive, it'd be good if you'd just contact them and say, thank you for investing in me. And by God's grace, I want to be a good return on your investment. Let's bow our heads.